You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today I chat with author, columnist and former speechwriter for Prime Ministers Geoffrey Palmer and Jim Bolger, journalist David Slack. We talk about some of the recent press that has been released and the duty that the media has to our new government. You sort of talked about the commentator or media person that made this comment about Jacinda's age and perhaps gender in terms of, you know, her capability for the job. Is that sort of something that we're going to see quite a lot of, do you think, from perhaps a sort of scorned national supporter base?
Yeah, possibly. Just in case you were wondering, and if you were hoping I'd name names, yes, I will. That was Barry Soper I was talking about. It was the very first question that was asked. And he's asked it, oh, I don't know, about a gazillion times already. It's clearly the violin he wants to play about this.
Yes.
And I noticed that Duncan Garner picked up the same theme this morning. I don't know. Is it age? Is it gender? Whatever it is, there is clearly a prejudice that assumes that unless you've lived as long and dull a life as the people who are doing the reporting, they can't imagine that you might be ready and capable. Notwithstanding that, there have been any number of examples of youthful politicians who've taken office and been hugely capable. And the first example in recent local memory would be David Longy. You know, he was only about 4 years older than Jacinda when he took office. Whatever you might say about the way that Labor administration finally flew apart, you couldn't say that he wasn't entirely up to the job and extremely good at giving people a sense of possibility. He was a great, he was a very capable leader. The thing I see with Jacinda, I've seen her in action, and this is what I was writing about in the column. If there's any particular aspect that you'd be worried about, this would be the least of them. Her capability and her skill in dealing with people is really impressive. You see that, and even if you haven't actually seen her in action in any kind of actual organisational setting, you only have to see how she performs on TV in a circumstance like, for example, that interview she did with Duncan Garner and Mark Richardson on the AM show just a few days after she took over as leader. That was when they were debating this whole question about a woman's right to
take maternal leave and
and she absolutely battered down all of the assertions Mark Richardson was making and did it comprehensively, but she also did it in a way that left him with his honour at the end, so that he wasn't unduly offended by it all. You know, she gave him a smile and said, good debate, at the end. And that is how she treats people. That is no doubt how she has been treating the partners to this negotiation.
And yet we still see, you know, she's respecting them and like you say, you know, leaving them with their honour. And yet we're seeing continually people like Duncan and people like Mike Hosking come back with this sort of attack on her capability, which actually has nothing to do with the fact that she is a woman. It's, you know, it's an attack on her personality almost, just because she can't, you know, they think that maybe they have more experience than her or...
Well, that's right. I mean, that's all they've got. And they reiterate, they can't, having had the proposition demonstrably rebutted, they can't hear it, they can't see it, and they just repeat it because they've got, that's all they've got, and it's just tiresome. Now, I suspect that as weeks and months roll on, if they keep doing that, it's just going to look a bit ridiculous.
Yes,
because you can't just keep banging away with your same lament when it's demonstrably proved day by day that your assertion is false. So I think time might take care of it, but that's not to say that you won't get exactly the kind of treatment of this party from a National Party opposition that you did from the blogosphere, especially in the last 3 years of the Helen Clark administration. That was some toxic shit, frankly.
And now we're seeing such a... I mean, last night's concession speech from Bill English was, you know, friendly and... Mm-hmm. and it was a concession. It wasn't a sort of rallying, I suppose. You know, it was quite a friendly concession. So it's just odd, I think, that we're seeing these National supporters come out and
be a bit rabid.
Yeah,
partly it could be because Bill English knows he no longer really has skin in the game. I mean, you know, I don't think we expect him to hang around now, and so he's able to do it that way. And I was particularly taken by the sort of quiet wonder of the way he was remarking on the fact that 12 weeks ago she was the deputy leader of a fading opposition. And actually, that, you know, I've said this before on this show, I think, but it bears repeating. The moment she stepped into the leadership role, she began doing what people who've known her knew she was always capable of, but which she had refrained from doing because it wasn't her role, and if she were to do it while deputy, it would have eclipsed the leader. But, you know, she's got loyalty, she's got patience, but the moment she's asked to do more, she does it. Guarantee you'll see the same thing here as Prime Minister. She will show all the qualities and capabilities you look for in a good coalition leader. Mm. I think she'll, because that respect is real. You know, it's just the way she deals with everybody. It means that the coalition arrangement will function much more smoothly than it did at, in particular, the end of the first coalition arrangement Winston Peters was in, which was the National Government, which changed so profoundly when Jenny Shipley overthrew Bulger and didn't consult Peters about it. Now, this is a man who expects respect and got none from Jenny Shipley, and the whole thing fell apart at that point.
And we saw such a smooth government between Labour and New Zealand First when Helen Clark was in, you know, and that was that communication and that respect she gave him, and hopefully we see that again.
Also, he had the foreign minister role that time, so he was, it was quite striking. He was out of the country an awful lot. So he really wasn't, for the largest part, he wasn't a visible part of the administration of it.
In terms of these kinds of people that we're talking about, these ones that sort of prey on those vulnerabilities, if they can find them, what can we hope from the rest of the media? You know, what do we expect, or what do we hope in the coming weeks?
What you do hope for is a fascination with policy rather than horse race. And I don't know. I've got to say, I was talking with my editor at the Sunday Star Times this morning, and he was saying he's off now to look at all kinds of policy permutations because he's fascinated to see what's going to stay, what's going to go. Because, you know, in environmental terms, there are a whole lot of things that are very questionable now.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.